The story of a building is a human story about the people and ideas that came together to create something new. The Owatonna Farmers National Bank building is the story of two men, Bank President Carl Bennett and architect Louis Sullivan. Together they created a jewel box on the prairie. The bank commands the corner of Broadway and Cedar, across from Owatonna's Central Park. Some visitors make a pilgrimage to see it, coming from Paris and Buenos Aires, from Tokyo and Rome, as well as from across town.
I just love walking inside and looking around. It's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'd echo his thoughts. I mean, it's neat for people from outside the community to come through and take a look. Neat landmark.
Larry Millette, an editor and architectural critic from the Pioneer Press, wrote a book on the Owatonna Bank called The Curve of the Arch.
It's a building that if you were to know nothing about architecture and were driving into Owatonna one day and got to the town square and saw it, you would sort of scratch your head and say, what in God's name is this? It's so bold, it's so colorful, that you just sort of, it sort of knocks you back.
What hits you from the outside is a massive brick cube of a building with two enormous semicircular arches. The arches contain stained glass windows set into the cube. The building is outlined by green and blue tile. Architectural historian Tom Martinson calls it one of the greatest buildings in American history because it is unlike anything else before or since.
Every once in a while, something comes out of here that you've never seen before. And this baby came in here from some other planet. It was stunningly different. This happens very rarely, but it does happen.
What happened in Owatonna started about 1906. A local banker, Carl Bennett, needed a bigger bank. He could have built the usual kind of building, a Roman temple with fluted columns out front, like banks in 1,000 other small towns. But Bennett wanted something different because he was a different kind of banker. Dan Freeman, Bennett's grandson, says his grandfather was more of an artist than a banker. His passion was music.
Carl Bennett was an accomplished musician at Harvard, and he was going to stay in New York and become an artist. But his father, Leonard Loomis Bennett, said, no, I paid for your education. You're coming back to Owatonna, and you're going to help me run this bank.
Reluctantly, Carl Bennett did what was expected of him as the eldest son, giving up the idea of becoming a conductor or a concert pianist. But later as bank president, when it was time to build a new bank, Bennett let his artistic nature flourish. He followed his dream to build what he called a true and lasting work of art. His choice of an architect was Louis Sullivan. A surprising choice. In 1906, Louis Sullivan's architectural career was washed up. He was a nobody, a heavy drinking has-been. He had never even built a bank. But Louis Sullivan had once been a great architect. He is considered to be the father of the first true American skyscraper. Sullivan designed the 10-story Wainwright Building in St. Louis in 1891, the first building that looked like a skyscraper and was built like one, with an all-steel skeletal frame. Frank Lloyd Wright once worked for Sullivan and learned from him. Wright called Sullivan his master and mentor. It was Louis Sullivan who coined the famous phrase, form ever follows function, and this is the law. His motto, form follows function, meant many things, but essentially that buildings should grow organically to fulfill their functions, almost like trees. The current bank president is Tim McManaman.
As anyone who studies Sullivan's work knows that form follows function. And when you look at the exterior of the building, archways, a great brick support of the building shows strength and security.
It is said that a great architect does his best work for a great client. And Louis Sullivan was lucky that Carl Bennett asked him to design a new Owatonna bank. Bennett took a risk on Sullivan, possibly because he knew he would not get a conventional bank. He wanted a fresh statement about what a bank could be, and he knew architecture, and he knew Sullivan's background. Author Larry Millette says this was the great opportunity of Sullivan's career to realize his dream.
He had a very sympathetic client. He was able to call in people to do the kind of work he wanted done. In many ways, this is the fullest realization of his vision of commercial architecture, and he really tried to make something sacred out of commercial architecture, which was his strength and his failing at the same time.
You got your card. There you go. Thank you. Hi, how are you today?
Visitors who go inside the bank compare it to a religious experience, like walking into a cathedral bathed in light. As the bank was being built, Sullivan wrote to Bennett saying, "I want a color symphony, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it."
We have beautiful purples and blues in the morning, glorious gold at high noon, and some wonderful purples and mauves again in the late afternoon, so the sun has gone around to set. And coming through all our beautiful stained glass windows, we get these 200 different colors in this main banking hall.
Julie Proft is assistant to the current bank president and the bank's tour guide. Besides the color and light, the most startling aspect of Sullivan's Bank is its amazing ornamentation. More than 6 different kinds of elaborate decorations fill the inside of the bank. In terracotta, in wrought iron, in molded tile, in gilded plasterwork, in stenciled walls. There are 4 electroliers, enormous hanging light fixtures, which look something like vines growing down through the central skylight. A splendor of ornament, now simply described as Sullivan-esque. The building is often written about as a holy place with mysterious light, yet it still functions as a Norwest bank. Dan Freeman says commerce and beauty coexist in the bank. His grandfather thought that that quality would attract business, and it has.
I hear all kinds of people tell me, "I have an account there. I really didn't do business with that bank, but because of its significance in American architecture, I want to have an account there."
The Owatonna Bank went on to become an international architectural landmark, but the men who built it met only tragedy. Louis Sullivan went on to design 7 more small Midwestern banks in Wisconsin, Iowa, Indiana, and Ohio, but his career sputtered and died. At the end of his life, Sullivan had to beg his friends, like Frank Lloyd Wright, for money. He was seen panhandling in the streets of Chicago. In 1924, Louis Sullivan died, bankrupt, in a cheap hotel. 2 years later, in 1926, Carl Bennett lost his beloved bank when the farm economy collapsed. The Owatonna Farmers National Bank became insolvent and was closed. The bank changed hands after that. The building suffered some terrible renovations, which were later corrected, though some ornamentation was lost. There are plenty of bland, monumental, and derivative banks dotting the landscape today. Few of them can be said to lift the spirit, or can be described as awe-inspiring and breathtaking, as Louis Sullivan's Owatonna Bank, built by the musician-turned-banker Carl Bennett. Together, they made good on their individual dreams, creating a work of art, a jewel, with a symphony of color. I'm Bill Buesenberg, Minnesota Public Radio.